Well, hey, thank you for coming out tonight. Some people that I work with didn't even know we were speaking tonight because this isn't about us tonight. It's about him. Amen. Yeah. So we're just going to tell you our story, our life story, and it's probably going to surprise some of you tonight, but hopefully it will give you hope and, maybe for something you're going through. So let's just pray real quick before we start. Lord, we thank you, God, that you're good. We thank you that your presence is here tonight, Lord, and you're here to break chains tonight. God, you're here to restore. You're here to heal. You're here to do what you do, God. And so tonight, we give you permission, God, to go crazy in this place. We just give you permission to do what you want to do. So God, let us just speak what you want us to speak and don't say anything you don't want us to, Lord. We love and praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, hey, all right. Well, we've been here at Hope for 17 years. Right? Because we came when Alicia was about a year old. And we knew Pastor Josh at Calvary Temple, which is where we went to church before. That church is now a Walmart neighborhood market. So anyway, it's probably got really good sales because the Holy Spirit's probably still there. So, but anyway, so we go back a ways. But we're from this area. We grew up in Bolivar area. Lorna, she lived in the city of Bolivar. I lived out in the country on the farm. I went to Morseville, which I was a proud member of Future Farmers of America. Can I get a witness? Yeah. And so she was the city girl and I was the country boy, but we went to the same church together. And I'm about 3 years older than her, and so I've known her since she was born. Her mom has a picture of me at her first birthday party with a little shaved head. And I'm sitting over there eating cake, not knowing I'm celebrating my future wife's birthday. Yeah. So it's pretty cool. So we go way back, but we didn't date because she's 3 years younger than me. So she was not legal
while
I was still
younger.
In high school. A lot younger. Yeah, that's right. But we, after she got out of high school, I came home from college that summer, and I saw her in a different light. Guys, you know what I'm talking about? She just said, grown up. You know, and so I told her, or I suggested to her, I didn't tell her, because you don't tell your wife anything, even when she's not your wife. I suggested that she break up with her boyfriend at the time and go out with me, and she did.
Right? True story.
I'm not making it up. So anyway, we go way back. Our families know each other for years. We grew up in church. My mom and dad rededicated their lives to the Lord when my mom was pregnant with me. And so all I've ever known is the church. I grew up, I got saved when I was six. I got filled with the Holy Spirit when I was a teenager. We got married there and started working, moved to Kansas City, then moved back to Springfield. And we had a good life. Everything looked really good. You know, I was the worship leader at our church that we went to at the time, Bolivar Assembly. It's still there today. And we were doing well, but then I kind of started making some decisions that got off track a little bit. Let me check my notes, make sure I'm staying where I go. I'll pull Pastor Gary here and get back to the notes. So we got married 2 years after she graduated high school. She had a couple years of college left. And we moved to Kansas City, like I said, and came back to Springfield. I had a demanding job. I have a finance accounting background. I worked at an accounting firm, worked a lot of hours, traveled a lot, things like that. You know, so family time was probably not as much as should have been. But I kind of got, basically the best way to say it, I ended up getting involved with a former coworker, someone I'd worked with after she left the business that I worked at. I ended up getting involved with her, ended up having an affair with her. And, it was not something I was looking for. I wasn't planning on that. I knew it was wrong, but I thought I was strong enough to kind of flirt with it, you know, play with fire and not get burned, but I'm not strong enough, and you're not strong enough either. You know, we all need to set boundaries in our lives. So the first thing I would just say, the first point I'd make tonight, and she's going to talk here in a minute, it's not just going to be me, is that be on your guard. I don't care who you are, how strong you think you are. We're all vulnerable, and we're all just one bad decision away from really messing up our lives. Amen? I mean, just one bad decision. You know, and so James 1:13 through 15 says, "Let no one say when he's tempted, 'I'm tempted by God,' for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when he's drawn away by his own desires, and that's true, and enticed. Then when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it's full grown, brings forth death. So this was an area that I had struggled with as a teenager, and I should have known better and put up some more guardrails in my life. You know, our vice president gets a lot of grief from the media and everyone because he says he won't go to lunch with someone other than his wife and all. That's probably pretty smart, you know. And I know there's all kinds of opinions on that, you know, and all. But we need to be smart about areas we struggle with and put up some guardrails. So while this started, it was up and down. I knew it was wrong. I would, like, something would happen. I would walk away, and I'd be like, Lord, forgive me. You know, but then I would just, like, be drawn back to it again. And I kept coming back to it. And so this happened for a while. And then by now, Lorna became pregnant with Tyler, our firstborn son, who's the big guy with the long hair over here, right here. Yeah, you know Tyler? Yeah. So she was pregnant with him. And meanwhile, this other woman was pressuring me to leave my wife and to be with her. And so I had a choice to make. You know, I was between two things just pulling. And I made the wrong choice. So I told Lorna about this affair. And
I've shared this story many times with ladies, but this is his first time.
Yep. Yeah, we've never told this together, so, you know. So anyway, I told her about it, and I told her I was going to leave her, and I was going to live with that other woman. And so this is an old saying that became true for me. You know, sin will take you farther than you want to go. It'll keep you longer than you want to stay, and it'll cost you more than you want to pay. So I'm going to let you talk for a minute now.
So I'm just going to interject a few things here because I really think tonight is about Jim. But
we are one flesh, my dear.
We are. one main thing I want to say at this point is the first Sunday I went to church after this big revelation, there were just a small group of people that knew at this point. And we all stayed after church and gathered at the altar. And a word came forth that day that said, Satan will not be the victor. My son will not be lost. There was other things probably, but those are the two lines that I remembered and held on to for months and months and months. And isn't it interesting that God still said, my son will not be lost? I just felt that was so interesting and pondered that so many times. But my word there is just that when God gives you a promise, you have to hang on to it for dear life sometimes. And that's what I did. I hung on and I hung on and I hung on.
You were going to say something else.
Okay. We haven't really practiced, so. We drove around talking the other night.
That's right. You're good. Yeah.
And also something I wanted to mention here is, you know, in the world of Facebook and everything now, it's so easy to watch people's lives through social media and think, you know, man, my life is so hard. I'm struggling so much, but they have everything together. They've never had to worry about anything. They've never had a problem, all those kind of things. And it just shows you that everybody has had struggles. Everybody does have struggles, and everybody's got a story to tell. And we just have to get a grip on that and not let our minds go down those roads with other people thinking that they've got it all together, and we don't.
All right. Great job, sweetie. All right. So she was pregnant with Tyler. He was born. He was a big baby. You can imagine that. But when he was born, we were actually separated. She was living with her mom and dad, and I was staying at our house. And so when he came into the world, his birth brought new perspective to this decision. You know, now, in addition to a wife that I had to take care of, I had a son depending upon me. Another thing that I found out during this time, I found out who my true friends were, you know. You know, and a friend isn't someone, I'm not calling someone a friend who says, hey, you're cool, what you're doing is great. You know, but some people just flat out rejected me. I had some people in our family reject me, you know, but I had some friends that would come and talk to me and let me know they love me, even though they weren't approving what I was doing. And I knew they weren't approving it, you know, but they still went out of their way to see me. And, you know, especially two people I want to mention my dad and my father-in-law. You know, they both firmly but lovingly encouraged me to get my act together and get right with God, you know. And I think about it, I have two daughters, and I don't know if I could do that. I would probably want to kill me if I was her dad. Now, and he probably did, you know, but he's a godly man, and my dad is. And I appreciate that very much. So I guess the other thing I would say, you know, this is a kind of a two-part thing. You know, there's the person that's the prodigal, and then there's the other people in the family or a wife or a spouse. You know, there's things to do on both sides. So if you know someone who's living in sin that's not following God, don't leave them alone. You know, stick with them, and they're not going to make it easy for you. I mean, I wasn't really wanting to hang out with these people because I felt so guilty, you know, but reach out to them and let them know and be patient with them and do that, you know. And then Lorna had a lot of support that she needed as well. So, you know, the next point I would make, so the first one was, you know, be on your guard. The next one is don't believe Facebook. Everybody's been through something. And number three, when God tells you something, hang on to it. When he gives you a word, hang on to it. And then the fourth one I would say, God knows what's best for you, even when you don't think he does. You know, I didn't think he knew what was best for me. I thought I had it all figured out. I thought this other option was what I needed to do and everything. But, you know, God knows what's best, and he will chase after you. When we were singing this song, The Reckless Love of God, leave the 99 to find the one. Man, I was the one, and I'm so thankful that he didn't give up on me tonight. And if you're here tonight, yeah. If you're here tonight and you're the one, he's not going to give up on you. You're here tonight not by accident. You're here because he wanted you here, and he will do whatever he can do to get your attention. And it may bring you to the end of yourself, which, hello, I've been there. But it's worth it because what he has is so much better for us. So I knew what was right. I'd been raised in church, and I knew what I should do, but I wasn't doing it. I didn't want to do it at first. You know, and the Bible says there's pleasure in sin for a season. There is, you know. But the thing is, the results will always catch up with you. You know, the wages of sin is death. And Pastor Gary always says, you know, a lot of times we do things and then we pray for crop failure. You know, what we reap, we will sow it. You know, and so as this went on, I started seeing the wages of sin catch up in my life. I started seeing the death, you know, in my life, and realized that my future wasn't going to be what I wanted it to be. I saw this son that I had, and his future, you know, wasn't going to be what I wanted it to be for him. And my relationship with God wasn't what I wanted it to be. You know, I started seeing that, and the Lord was kind to me, and he was firm, but he was kind, and he kept reaching out to me, you know. And then Lorna, you know, she kept the door open to me for reconciliation, but she gave me tough love, you know. It wasn't like she was just going to make it super easy and she was going to be a doormat or anything like that. I knew she loved me, but she had some conditions and all. And so that's another thing I would tell you, if you're dealing with someone like that, you know, you don't have to be a doormat, and trust has to be earned again, respect has to be earned again, forgiveness can happen. But you have to, you know, sometimes take some steps. So here's a good interjection point again.
I was just going to tell you some of the backstory that was going on at this time. Of course, Jim left our home church, and I stayed there. But he never stopped going to church. He started going to church up here at Calvary Temple, which, you know, how many churches are there in Springfield? And he picked that church, and he did not know that the pastor of that church was a really good friend with the pastor of our church. And he knew he was there. So he thought he was just going in and hiding and nobody, but he knew he was there and he knew what was going on. And I mean, just so many things that God was orchestrating. And I don't know if you're ready to kind of get to the end part, but
Yeah, go ahead. I mean,
okay, you know, I had
I'll roll with it.
this went on for almost a year. We separated in September. Tyler was born in December. And, I mean, I had been taught my whole life divorce was not an option, you know, but what are you supposed to do? I mean, I didn't know how long I could hang on. And so I pretty much had told God, my bargaining, that I would let it go a year. And then I was going to have to do something. I couldn't go on like that. And so it was getting, you know, getting kind of close. I had talked to an attorney, but I hadn't done anything. And Labor Day weekend came, and Sandy and Jake Jacobson invited us to the lake together. And Jim agreed to go, which I couldn't believe it. That's how long we go
back. I really like the lake.
That's how far we go back with Jake and Sandy. And they were one of those true friends that stayed with both of us through thick and thin. They invited us to go to the lake. And we went and stayed Saturday and Sunday. And then Sunday they told us there was a revival service going on at our home church and invited us to go. And Jim agreed to go, which I couldn't believe again. The thing is, that's the night he rededicated his life and came back to the Lord. And I never in a million years would have thought that it would have taken place back at the same place that we'd started. You know, I knew that God had promised me that he was going to come back and all that. But I never dreamed that it would be there in front of those same people that had watched all this unfold. And it was just unbelievable. And from that night on, we were together, but it wasn't magic all.
Yeah, that's right. And so that's my next point is, you know, you have to make the decision first, you know, and then the feelings come. So, you know, made that decision, prayed, that was good. But my feelings for her still weren't what they should have been. And she agreed, you know, to work on reconciling. But her feelings for me, I'm sure, weren't what they were at one point. Definitely not what they are now, that's for sure. but I had to get right with God first. You know, that had to happen first. And so if you're going through something tonight, you know, and you're fighting a battle on many fronts, you've got relationship problems, you've got money problems, you've got this problem, that problem, you got to start with getting right with God first. Amen? It's just simple. I know it seems too simple, but you got to start there. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and all his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Amen? Yeah. That's not me. That's his word. So you got to start with the first things. You know, go back to that and then take things one thing at a time, and he'll help you through that. You know, in Psalm 51, that psalm became really important to me. That's the one where David, after the whole Bathsheba deal, you know, he said, create in me a clean heart, and, oh God, renew me a right spirit. You know, there's lots of place in the scripture like that. But as we, you know, stuck it out, kept doing, making the decision, the feelings came back, and they're stronger than ever. And we can truly say, I hope you'll say this, that we love each other more today, you know, than ever,
right?
And I just want to say, you know, this story does not even feel like our story.
Yeah.
It feels like we're up here telling somebody else's story. That's how much God has restored.
Yeah.
I mean, and it's not about how bad Jim was and how good I was, because I'd made mistakes too. But it's about how good God has been and still is, you know, and the promises that he gives and how faithful he is. And another thing I want to say is, you know, I believe so strongly in marriage, and that is a big anointing I feel like I have praying for marriages. But there's a lot of you out here, this hasn't been your story. you know, and maybe things didn't work out the way you thought they would, and how, but what's important is to start right now, to forgive yourself, forgive the other people involved, and to be who God wants you to be from right now on. You know, we can, none of us can do anything about the past. The past's gone, but we have God that wants to make today and the future what he wants it to be.
I do. Okay. You got some else? Okay. So again, you know, we can obviously say God's faithful and his way is the best way. So it's not even an option. You know, it's not even an option. His way is the best way. You may not feel it at the time, but trust me, trust an old guy. You know, it is always true. And the other thing I want to say, you know, I feel like I understand God's love so much better after going through this than I did before. You know, I knew he loved me before, but I hadn't really ever had a lot of stuff before, you know. And so, you know, in Luke 7:41 through 43, Jesus is telling a parable. There was a certain creditor who had two debtors. One owed 500 denarii and the other 50. And when they had nothing with which to repay, he freely forgave them both. Tell me, which one of them will love him more? And Simon answered and said, I suppose the one who he forgave more, right? So if you're forgiven much, you know, I'm not saying you should go out and do stuff so you can understand God's love. But if you've done a lot, you can really understand it. You know, you can understand it. And God can restore anything. You know, we've talked about our marriage tonight, but he can restore your finances if you do things his way. He can restore your health if you do things his way. He can restore relationships other than marriage if you do things his way. You know, Alvaro here, he has a great story where he's been restored and reconciled with his daughter that he hadn't seen in years, you know, that we just learned about. He's a God of restoration. He runs after us tonight. Yeah. Just a couple of scriptures, you know, this is in Job. He shall pray to God and he will delight in him. He shall see his face with joy, for he restores to man his righteousness. And then also in Joel chapter 2, he says, now therefore says the Lord, turn to me with all your heart, with fasting, with weeping, with mourning. Rend your heart and not your garments, because their practice was to tear their garments and show an outward sign of repentance. But he said, rend your heart, not your garments. Return to the Lord your God, for he's gracious and merciful, slow to anger and of great kindness. And then here's the best part, which ties in with what she just said in Joel 2:25. I will restore to you the years that the swarming locust has eaten. Some of you tonight have lost some stuff, some time, you know, years, but God can restore it. Sure, there are some consequences that we carry, but God can do things we don't even dream about. I mean, I can't even dream of the life we've had, you know. And the biggest thing God can do to restore is obviously salvation. You know, if anyone's in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things are become new. So at this point in time, do you have anything else you want to add? Okay, I'd like to ask our kids to come up that are in here tonight. Hopefully, Alicia and Shay Shay have made it in here. Are they have? Okay, and then Tanner and Kaylee. I don't know if Kinsey's in or not. She's working in the kids area.
And Trevor's
at Kanakuk, serving the Lord with a bunch of college kids down there. So this is Tyler. He's our oldest son. His wife, Kinsey. There she is. Come on up, Kins. Yeah, I'll call you out. Yeah. And this is Tanner and his wife, Kaylee. They're just moving back to Missouri from California. Can I get a witness? Yeah. Yeah. They're moving to St. Louis Friday. And then Trevor, as I said, is the next one. He's in Kanakuk. And then Alicia is 18. She's going to be a senior at New Covenant. And then Shayaka is 12. She is our little princess from Haiti originally. She's been home with us 5 years. So I just want to show you the picture. I mean, it could have just been Tyler, and I don't know if he would have been in church serving God. He probably would have, because his mama would have raised him right. But these other kids and these wives and the future wives and future husbands, you know, and we've got one grandson, and we've got a granddaughter coming, Ella, here in a month. You know, I could have never dreamed back at that day that I would have a family like this. So if you're in the middle of a hellhole situation, just reach up and grab a hold of Jesus. You don't have to have it all figured out. You don't have to know, how do I do this? If you just get a hold of God and do that and just leave the rest up to Him, He will get you through it. He'll bring people into your life to help you walk it out, to help you figure out the consequences and things. And then some stuff's going to shake off. I was telling a brother Sunday, you know, God's got to shake everything off of us that can be shaken. You know, so you got to do that. So tonight, we're going to ask you to stand in charity if you'd come on back.